Probably a lot of you are here with some knowledge about the GK through 12 program, but if you're not, what it does is allow a lot of us college graduate students to take our research into the classroom and involve students with our research or just give expert opinions or really just be sort of a higher up official science person to make them get more jazzed about learning science. I happen to do my research in entomology, of course, and I do biological control of Japanese beetles. People who study biological control always jump at the chance to teach or talk to the public about it because we tend to have a bad rap with the public because we've had some projects that have ended up being more detrimental than helpful. And so it's always a good opportunity to go in and say, this is why biological control rocks and this is what it's all about. I have a particularly large hill to climb because I study nematodes, and most people have no clue what nematodes are, let alone high school students. So the title of my talk comes from the first week that I was in the classroom, and I gave the breakdown about what I did, and then the next day I came in and I thought I would recap, and I said, okay, who can tell me something about a nematode? And the only response I got was a lone voice saying, Nemo, what? So I obviously didn't pick up anything about it, so I had a long way to go with the class. My goals for the year were to explain basic principles of biological control, the successes, the failures, what it takes to do biological control, to stress the relevance of the field to ours and the students' daily lives, and to keep it hands-on, keep it fun. We're not here to convert people into scientists necessarily, but we're going in with the knowledge that these are the students that are going to be voting on our policies, maintaining having input on our jobs in the future. So anytime we can just change attitudes and make science a fun thing, then that's a great opportunity. The way that I planned to do this was to take several different angles of approach. I wanted to involve students directly with my own research, then to turn it around and have them conduct their own experiments, and finally to emphasize the creative component of science in general by having them come up with their own paths in biological control agents. But first I had to get started and find out what does biological control even mean to a ninth grader. So I passed out some note cards and I said, this anonymous, just tell me what you think biological control means. And the responses I got were varied, but almost all of them were completely wrong. A lot of them had lofty goals, controlling biology so that it works the right way. Where you control or watch everything that is living, like plants and animals. Sounds relaxing. The ability to keep diseases and other single-celled organisms from doing what they want. And my personal favorite, I think it's the use of bugs or things like maggots to control things like poop or chemicals. Right idea, wrong field. So I had a long way to go, obviously. So I thought, all right, I'm going to get these out into my research sites right away. So we loaded them up on a school bus, and for a little background on what I do, I use nematodes and also insect-killing fungi to control Japanese beetles, and one aspect of my research has been to infect these Japanese beetles, then put them in little outdoor cages, and then come back a few months later and dig up their offspring to find out if the adults died and passed on the pathogen to their offspring. So that's the phase that I brought the students out to. They got to dig up the cages and count grubs, and then I got to take a count. And one nice, although sort of unfortunate thing about involving them in my research, particularly field research, is that they got to experience the letdown of negative results right off the bat. We weren't able to get adequate vertical control with this experiment, and students were disappointed. So I turned it around on them and gave them an experiment that would have a better chance of giving them something to look forward to. So to do that, I set them outside with their own deli containers and shovels in order to do a scan for their own entomopathogenic, that is, insect-killing nematodes. So they went around their own school property. This was to help keep it related to their own daily lives as part of my original goal. And had them dig soil samples. And from there, what they do is put soil samples into the deli container and add in some waxworm larvae. Now, what this does is if there are pathogens that are roaming around in the soil, then they will infect these waxworms. So from that point, students were to remove dead waxworms and place them on what we call a white trap. And what a white trap does is it allows the nematodes to breed, to reproduce through a few rounds in the larvae, and then they can travel down this moist filter paper into the water that's sitting in the petri dish. And from there, you can take water samples and pop them under a microscope and then actually see living nematodes dancing around. And so we had plenty of students that were just proud as all get out that they got the right soil patch and they were able to find nematodes and they were moving under a microscope and living. So that was a great experiment. And in fact, my handout back there is just a write-up of how you can do that in your own classroom if you would like. Now we're getting into the colder weather of the season, so this has been in a linear progression. And so to bring them inside, I had students create their own pests. They had to design an organism, name it, and say what it is that makes it a pest. I didn't necessarily stress that they had to make insect pests, although a lot of them were insect-like. And the types of things we got were the biting caner, which bites you and injects venom that makes you itch for 2 weeks, trying to ignore the fact that this insect has 7 legs. So got the olifant, which lures tourists and small children into its cave to eat them. Obviously, we need to control a pest like this. This unnamed pest is a problem because it's really icky when they get in your house and multiply. So one thing that I liked about the types of pests that they came up with is that they were able to state various reasons why organisms could be a problem in our daily lives, although it was kind of sad to notice that no one picked agricultural pests, being that that was my background. Now that they had pests, enough pests in the room for a lifetime, students were asked to create their own biological control agents. We got caterpillar long legs, which is attracted to the bright colors of the pest, and it shoots spikes into the body to control it. I believe there is an additional note on that page that said you have to watch out because it'll bite humans too. So that brought up a really valid point that sometimes biological control agents won't work out because of side effects that they might have on the environment or on people. This one's my favorite. The burrower ant burrows underground until it reaches a cave with an olifant, and then it bites and infects it with a virus. Once the olifant dies, then the ant is able to make a new colony on the carcass. Of course, I like this because the student came up with vectoring all on his own. And what that brings us to in the end is that having actually participated in biological control experiments, students have been better able to describe it in general, as well as discuss issues with its use. All those things came up when they were designing their own pests and solutions to those pests. Second, by covering several different angles of teaching, a lot of students found at least one method that worked well for them. Some students really like the hands-on stuff. Some of them really like the drawings. All this came up in evaluations at the end of the year. One thing that they did not seem to care much for were the lectures that I gave on biological control pests, citing them as boring. And finally, students seem to be obsessed now with venomous, stinging, spine-shooting biological control agents, so perhaps future generations of NSF fellows can go in there and maybe fix that for me. With that, I'd like to thank the National Science Foundation for funding this for a year, Dr. Richard Moore, our PI, Lois Grant, and Anthony Stoller, who was the teacher that I worked with. I'd be happy to take any questions. How much time did I spend in the school each week? We tried to be in there 2 days per week. I was working with multiple classes, so I usually went from morning till clear to the end of school. Yes?
What kind of support did you have from the teachers of those classes? Did they do additional work after you left, or did you just you?
What type of support did I get from the teachers? Did they support me or continue my work after I left, or was it all me? Now, this is different for everybody with their individual relationships with their teachers. In my case, Some work was continued in my absence, for instance, when we were scanning for nematodes and they were pulling dead larvae out of their soil samples. That was continued in a little section in my absence. But for the most part, the days that I came in were more like the fun days, I guess, and so there wasn't too much continuity with what they were doing. Yes? Okay, so the question was I able to do a follow-up to find out what exactly they learned and got out of this? I did actually pass out the index cards at the end of the classroom, or at the end of the year, and ask them again to define biological control, and I can only think of maybe two students that got it wrong at that point. So it had been drilled in them across an entire year. They picked up on it. The lectures were useful in their own way, just not as entertaining, apparently. Right back here.
How did the teachers fit this into their already existing curriculum?
How did teachers fit this into their already existing curriculum? Now, that depended on which class I was in. For example, I was working in a turf grass class, so we were able to fit it right in with control methods of turf pests, right alongside when they were talking about chemical control. I talked to an environmental science class. They discussed a lot of Well, you have to know a little bit more about the background of our particular NSF program. We were brought in to talk mostly about stream health, watershed quality, and so the tie-in from my research is that by using fewer chemicals to treat turf pests, then we're putting less of a load that goes down the river into the Gulf of Mexico and contributes to that dead zone. So for environmental science class, I was able to tie it in by bringing them out into the streams and doing insect surveys in that manner. Mm-hmm. Yes?
What sort of setting was the school in? Is this in an urban environment or so rural?
What was the setting of the school? I was in a very rural school.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Is this the type of activity they'll be able to continue in future years?
Is this an activity that they can continue in future years? I believe absolutely, although that's up to the fellow that follows me. Mm-hmm. Yes? Do you think that this is an activity that the teacher would be willing to do on their own without a fellow? Where the students go out and look for their own nematodes? Definitely. It's an easy lab. It's cheap to run. The teacher definitely expressed a willingness to do that in the future. And also, the artwork has been really handy and easy, too. You don't need to be an expert to continue that in class. So that also, he seemed to have interest in continuing. Thank you.